Good afternoon. Good to be with you this day, and good for my family to be with you. And we look to pray for you through the year, and I always appreciate it knowing that others have prayed for us. So, let's open our Bibles to the book of Ruth again. The book of Ruth. We've been considering how in this book of Ruth it has various levels of study. We see a wonderful love story. We also see a reminder of Christ as our kinsman redeemer. We also are reminded of how the Lord deals with both Jew and Gentile in that dispensational study of things through God's Word. And as we've already seen, the three primary characters in this book being Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, we've seen that Ruth, of course, being a Gentile, Naomi a Jewish, and then we find Boaz as well is a great picture of Christ as we see these ones, Naomi and Boaz, from Bethlehem. Very significant place in Scripture as it ties in with the Lord Jesus and his birth, and as well as David, a great picture of in connecting with the kingly line of the Lord Jesus as well. And so this one, Naomi, returns back to Bethlehem in time of barley season, in time, as it were, to allow Ruth to glean in the fields. And they, of course, in a very solemn note as they return, Naomi feeling bitter and discouraged, having lost her husband. Naomi had lost her husband and two sons. We notice there in chapter 2 that as Ruth was willing to glean, and as that was a provision in the day of Israel, things we saw in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, that ones would be able to provide for or allow ones to glean if they were strangers, widows, poor, such as this. And Ruth, being willing to do so, found herself in the field of Boaz, a mighty man of wealth. So this man, Boaz, has his eye upon Ruth. He notices her faithfulness to her mother-in-law, and as he made the point to say, as he spoke of her being under the wings of the Lord God of Israel. And so he, noticing her faithfulness and her desire to follow the God of Israel, the God of Naomi, that this one, Boaz, keeping his eye upon her, extending grace and mercy. When the word got back to Naomi, she was excited, of course. She was happy to know that was the field that Ruth was in, because he being a kinsman. So we pick up in chapter 3 with this situation. And if we'll read the first 5 verses, please. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he is winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. It shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." So we find a rather unique situation. Naomi saying, go to this man, as she tells Ruth, go to this man, Boaz, and there's opportunity to interact and dialogue with him. And as we see this, as it were, the spreading of the skirt, you might say, we find this terminology also in the prophets. Look at Ezekiel with me for just a moment. Kind of a unique situation. Go to him, sit there, and uncover his feet. Ezekiel, please, chapter 16. Now, while you're turning there, I'll just remind you of the following verse in the dialogue of Ruth, chapter 3. She said unto Naomi, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." So we find once again the emphasis seen upon the faithfulness and the commitment of this one, Ruth, as we saw that also in chapter 1 and chapter 2. So now that we are in Ezekiel chapter 16, notice down in verse 8. We'll begin back at verse 6. "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments, and thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." Interesting language, isn't it? "I spread my skirt over thee." So when we see this and we compare it to what was going on being proposed by Naomi to Ruth, it seems to be bringing into the understanding of this marriage covenant, a signification of an opportunity to have a marriage covenant before them. And so as we continue reading in Ezekiel, it brings to bear the Lord's desire and his love for his people of Israel. Notice there in verse 9. "Then washed I with thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee and anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. Thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." So when we think of this, we think of the Lord in the sense of beautifying his wife. We think of Israel as the wife of Jehovah. Notice the language here, verse 9, washed, and 10, clothed. Verse 11, decked. And so we think of the love of the Father for his people, his own. We'd use the term the wife of Jehovah, Israel. But we think in a dispensational study, think of the New Testament. And we think of the bride of Christ and how the Lord sees the church. Ephesians chapter 5 gives some beautiful language as well. Familiar text there. If you'll go with me there for a moment, or I'll read to you. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, we're reminded of this. Comparing practically things with husbands and wives, and how it's a great picture of Christ and the church. A reminder of Christ and his bride. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." So we're reminded of this great mystery as spoken of there in verse 32 of Christ and the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so here we see unique language as well. So as we think of, in one sense, in Ezekiel, speaking of the Lord and his love for Israel, we think of as well the church and his great love for us that know him. It's interesting that in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," we see in Galatians 2 that Paul spoke of how Christ loved me and gave himself for me. And yet in Ephesians 5, it speaks about how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So we see these kind of overlapping things concerning the truth of God's love and his beautification of his own. So with that, we go back to our text of Ruth chapter 3. And here we are with this situation when Naomi has told Ruth to go to the foot of Boaz and to make herself known and speak with him. So we pick up there in chapter 3 and we see in verse 6. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. She came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman." So we see that as by instruction Naomi hears Ruth going in, reminding Boaz of his obligations, his opportunity as a near kinsman. However, in verse 10, he answered, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Note that. Just like we saw back in chapter 2, he had his eye upon this one. He had noted the faithfulness of this one and how that she'd been such a help to her mother-in-law as it was, and how she had come to follow the God of Naomi, and that she was a virtuous woman. Verse 12, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I." You see, there's an issue here. We can't just, it's not going to be so cut and dry. There's someone else in the picture in as far as the near kinsman. "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." Couple of interesting things here. Let's go back to Deuteronomy just briefly. Earlier we had noted in Deuteronomy where it would speak about the duty of a husband's brother. That was in chapter 25. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 25. That the opportunity was there, responsibility, that if a man died and he left his widow and such as this and without child and what have you, we could see that there was the provision that could be made to continue his name and to make provision for the widow. But notice in 25 and 7, it deals with this situation if there's someone else involved. "And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, 'My husband's brother refuses to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother.' Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him, and if he stand to it and say, 'I like not to take her,' then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, 'So shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that has his shoe loosed.'" So, not a very promising thing to, or a very good prospect to be considered by. But nonetheless, we see this as part of that provision there in the day of Israel. So, come back to our text now in Ruth. So, Boaz has made it known. There's someone else that is basically in front of me, and we must see what he's going to do. This man, this mighty man of wealth, is he willing? Well, he's going to make that known. Verse 14. "She lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another." Now let's stop at that. He had told her to lie down till morning, and so she did so. In one sense, perhaps he was being concerned about her own name and testimony. You know, being seen coming in and out in the middle of the night might not have looked so well and such as this, but nonetheless, he made a point to address when she would leave and such as this. We want to be careful with our name and testimony. And so Boaz is looking after this one that's known as a virtuous woman. And so having said that, we pick up in verse 14. Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Verse 15, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it and measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. You see, once again, we find Naomi is going to receive blessing provided by Boaz. You see, Ruth will be able to go back again, bring yet more provision. Naomi is blessed again. You know, what a reminder, again, dispensationally, that the Lord is not done with Israel. We can read in the New Testament portions such as Romans 11, speaking of one of the other great mysteries of the New Testament. It reminds us of how the Lord has not is not through dealing with Israel. He has yet his program still before him. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The Lord has his time in his dealings with Israel, and we see that his timing in the future program, the Lord's still dealing, will deal, that is, with Israel. In Ruth, however, notice the flow at the end of chapter 3. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. Boaz said, go not empty. Remember that? Go not empty. Once again, this man of great wealth, he's willing to provide. He's willing to continue to show provision and mercy and grace. She said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Mercy still being heaped upon both Naomi and Ruth. I like what's said here at the last verse of chapter 3, and how it's a great reminder of the gospel truth of the Lord Jesus. She said, sit thou, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he had finished the thing this day. Ruth is told to sit still. Wait and see how the man will take care of this. See what Boaz is going to do. You know, when we think of the gospel need of every one of us, we cannot earn our salvation. It's not a matter of us trying to take it in our own hands and trying to earn our own salvation. We must rest and we must wait upon the Lord. It's Boaz that had to take care of this. Ruth was told to sit still. We are those that are, by the grace of God, salvation is offered to us. And with empty hands, we come and confess our need. And we depend on what the Lord does in saving our souls. Ruth is told to rest. See that this one Boaz, he will finish the thing. The Lord Jesus, he went all the way to the death of the cross, and he said, it is finished. It was dependent upon what he could do, what he would accomplish, not what we can do. So we come into the final chapter. And as Ruth is told to set aside and rest and see what Boaz would do, notice he's now is willing to go before the men of the city, to go before the gate of the city. You know, the gate would often speak of where business and such would be going on, transaction and things would be acknowledged, witnesses and such. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. He's calling him, he's beckoning him, as it were. You know, you see that word ho, interesting, in Isaiah 55:1 is a calling, is a great gospel message there. That term is used. Ho, come. And so as he does in verse 2, they are there before the 10 men of the elders of the city. And they say, sit down here. And they sit down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of this country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother's Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. You know, at first, okay, this sounds like something I can do, but there's more to it than that. Are you willing to marry? And so his response is, well, you know, if I do this, I may mar my own inheritance. I just practically don't think I can get in. I can't do this. And so verse 6, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. You know, what words that would be? I cannot. You know, the Lord Jesus went all the way to the cross, and there did he say, I cannot or I will not. He was willing and able and did the Father's perfect will all the way to the cross. And so now it's time for Boaz. Will he stick to what he had intended to do? In verse 7, now this is a matter in former time in Israel concerning redeeming, concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off a shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. He was willing to acknowledge, this is what happens. Boaz, it's your opportunity. So we find there in verse 9, what a tremendous statement. Boaz responds to the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day, and I have bought all that was Elimelech's. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid for the sin of the world. We know not all will turn to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has paid the price. He's a propitiation for our sins, not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He paid, he bought all. Here's Elimelech. I have bought all that was, Boaz, speaking of buying all that was Elimelech's, and it was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Again, here's that language of how Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, as he purchased her to be his wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And so, if you would, notice some of the things that we find at the end of this story. The story is not over just because the willingness of Boaz has been brought before us. But notice here, as these witnesses are seeing these things, verse 11, and all the people that were in the gate, the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. That's interesting. Here we think of Jacob's wives and those that built the house of Israel as they led to the house. Well, here's Ruth with Boaz, which will lead to the king. As we read further, we're going to see this line that will lead to Christ. Yet, we read further. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. That's interesting. That word famous is found both here in verse 11 and again down in verse 14. To be published, to be known. And let thy house be like the house of Pharaoh's, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, to the seed which the Lord shall give thee and this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. When he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that this name may be famous in Israel. You know, when we think about it, Bethlehem has become a very famous name. Not only do we find that which is born here, as we've already said, there was David, born of Jesse, and then, of course, none other than the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem. And notice the language going on in verse 15. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. This faithful one Ruth better than 7 sons. So as Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, became nurse to it. Notice here, Naomi is still in the picture. He has blessed both Ruth and Naomi, both Jew and the Gentile in the story before us. And the women, verse 17, her neighbors gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." Isn't that amazing how it's worded? Not saying just a child born to Ruth, but a child born to Naomi. The one that had left with Elimelech so long ago, the one who came back saying, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter." Yet now we can think of her name Pleasant or Naomi. Now we see her blessing upon her. A child's been born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So we see that line leading to Christ already that we've read about from Bethlehem over later on in 1 Samuel. Obed. Now that name means serving. Once again, one of the attributes of the Lord Jesus, the one who came to serve, not to be served unto, but to serve. He gave his life a ransom for many, as we see in Mark 10:45. So we find Obed, the child born. Then the final verses give us these names in this genealogy, as it were. Notice in verse 21, "And Salmon begat Boaz, Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David." How appropriate that the book of Ruth ends with the name David, the one whom we think of as synonymous with the kingly line of the Lord Jesus, the man whose heart is after God, this one from Bethlehem, this one in the line. And yet how unique it is that we find these names in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. How encouraging that is. This unique love story, this story of redemption, yet is flavored with dispensational truth. The blessings of the Lord can be found upon both Jew or Gentile, those of us who come to know him as our Savior, for we are in the body of Christ. As Ephesians 2 points out that great truth, whether Jew or Gentile, you're in Christ, you're in the one true body. Well, with this, let's look into the Lord in prayer. And I pray we'll go away encouraged, being reminded of the Lord is our Redeemer. We have peace by the blood of his cross. Perhaps one of the brothers can close us in prayer.